Okay, now we have on the line Miranda Stewart, who is a professor. She's a professor, and she's a director of the Tax and Transfer Policy Institute at the ANU. And we're going to talk tax. Good morning, Miranda.
Good morning.
And welcome to 3CN. Thank you for agreeing to talk to us. We are going to discuss tax and the elections.
Yes, you've got some queries about that?
Yes, yes. The proposals about the reduction in tax for small companies has been a point of discussion. Just wanted if you wanted to comment on that policy as such.
Well, the Liberal National Coalition, currently in government, of course, have put a proposal to cut company tax. They have this 10-year plan, actually, 10-year plan for jobs and growth, as they call it, where over the long run, they will cut the company tax rate for all companies of any size, so that by 2026, all companies would, under that plan, face a tax rate of 25% instead of 30%. But the way they're going to do that is to phase it in over the 10-year period. So what they propose over the next 3 or 4 years, basically the next election cycle, is to gradually lower the rate for smaller size companies and then increase the size. So at the moment, the rate for companies under 2 million turnover, that's not profit, that's just turnover, is 28.5%. It was lowered a year ago. So they're proposing to extend that to companies with turnover of 10 million and then 50 million. 100 million, and then they're going to actually start lowering the rate gradually down to 27 and then to 25.
Wow, that is very progressive, isn't it? In your experience, this way of manipulating taxpayer money through tax to improve the economy and growth, has there been evidence of improvement in the economy, so to speak, through the strategy?
Well, I think you have to think about Australia's tax system in context of what happens in the rest of the world. We have a fairly open economy these days. It's not protectionist or closed. We have free-flowing investment and trade, or very largely free-flowing. And so what matters is the impact of company tax on investment decisions. And governments do think of the tax system, and especially taxes on business or enterprise, as a part of their kind of economic policy, if you like, as well as a way of raising revenue. Australia's company tax rate has been 30% now quite a long time, since 2000. Compared to other countries, it's actually relatively high. The US has a higher nominal company tax rate of 35%. I guess Japan has 33%, but most other countries and countries in our region especially have lower company tax rates than Australia. And there is an argument, I guess one of the arguments being used for the policy, that Australia relies on foreign investment. We're a net capital importing country. And so that we may be competing for foreign investment, and the company tax rate is seen as one lever to make Australia more attractive.
All right, I have a question basically around the issue of tax avoidance. And from my understanding from reading the budget, two major parties and the Greens all have a kind of policy on how to address this question of tax avoidance, especially in light of the Panama Papers. And I interested in hearing your comment on that.
So you're particularly interested, I guess, in tax avoidance of corporations then?
Yeah.
Because that was the main focus, I guess, of most of the party policies recently. And as you say, there were measures in the budget. So multinational corporations, I said that we compete for capital investment because multinationals have the ability to access to move capital around and to access the legal systems and the nations really are all around the world, including tax havens, low-tax countries. they can profit shift, or what we call base erode, erode the company tax base here in Australia by making payments offshore to related companies. So the acronym or the name we give to that is base erosion and profit shifting. It gets called BEPS for short. I'm not sure if you've come across that phrase. And the OECD and a number of governments, including Australia, have expressed concerns about that. And are seeking to protect the company tax base by enacting some anti-avoidance rules. So, for example, the large corporations like Google, most of their value is in intangible assets, intellectual property, marketing and sales, financial-type assets. And people can access it from anywhere in the world. It's this kind of digital economy. It's very difficult to apply our traditional tax rules to make sure that we capture some of that global value in taxes in Australia. They don't have a business presence in Australia. And so we've enacted an anti-avoidance rule that would deem Google to have a business presence in Australia to the extent that they make some sales here.
Yeah, and just...
So all parties... So, sorry, just to finish up there, yes, all parties... We seem to have bipartisan support for that. Some of the Greens, for example, would like to go further. But actually, both the ALP and the LNP have a number of measures that are intended to broaden and protect the corporate tax base.
This tax cutting exercise, actually, Paul Keating did it in the I think 80s, if I remember correctly. Is there any evidence that such tax cutting actually improves investment overall in the country?
You're right that Keating did it in the 80s, and then it was the company tax rate. Actually, for a while, the company tax rate was the same as the personal income tax rate, 49%. But it was dropped very quickly under Keating after that, and then also under John Howard from 36 to 30. You asked a very good question, and the answer is that it's very difficult to find empirical evidence that actually proves the connection between a lower company tax rate and more investment. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, okay? So I guess one of the challenges with this debate, I think, for the public and actually for even for the politicians, is working out what evidence is there and can the economic models tell us what we need to know about the company tax? There's usually a lot else going on in the economy. So, for example, we did cut the company tax rate from 36% to 30% in 2000. We had a boom period, right? We had 10 years of very substantial economic growth. Was that caused by the company tax cut? I mean, surely the answer is probably no, or that was just one small factor in what was essentially a very big commodities boom that we had. So it's very hard to unpack the empirical evidence, but there is evidence that corporations do respond to tax rates. There's quite a lot of evidence about that and do tax planning. And, of course, we can observe what happens elsewhere in the world and what they're doing with their company taxes.
Yeah. The other question I wanted to ask is, do you, in your expertise, found that there's generally support from the general population for these sort of measures, that's tax cutting taxes to big companies?
I'm not sure if there is general support. As you've observed, different governments, Labor governments and Conservative governments, have cut the company tax rate in the past, and I don't think that has been a cause of them losing office. You know, so it's not highly political in that way, although it's on the front pages for this election. I think that the public has lost trust in large corporations in Australia, if they ever had much trust, and in particular that's because of Panama Papers, as you've pointed out, and multinational tax avoidance. And that's a real problem for large business. They really, some large corporations have now started to publicly report all of their taxes and to explain their tax position to the public. and being required now of the large mining companies because they are, we're signing up Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. And I think that's really important to communicate that to the public. But I guess the very important thing for people to remember is that taxes, companies are not people, right? Companies cannot bear tax. They cannot bear the burden of tax. Individuals ultimately bear the burden of tax or the benefit of government activity. And so a company is just a legal fiction, right? It's a nexus of contracts. And so who bears the company tax? The Treasury argues, and they do this really kind of with their the goal of improving national well-being for Australians, that quite a lot of Australian company tax is borne by Australian workers indirectly because of lower foreign investment. Now, that's highly disputed, but I guess the question is, how can we design a system that just collects that tax through that legal entity, but for the benefit of the well-being of all of us?
Interesting point, because in the industrial system, the companies are represented as people, and it's a slightly different variation from the way you presented it. So they seem to have different way of defining a company depending on which legal entity they enter into for whatever purpose. So that's an interesting one. But lastly, before we let you go, I just wanted to get your comments on this proposal and discussion around the increase of GST. Well, I mean, it's always an unpopular thing, and rightly so, because always poor people, rich people, regardless of who, what your earnings are, you end up paying the same tax, especially when you go and buy commodities in the markets and so on. What is your opinion on this proposal to raise a GST?
So you're quite right. The GST, well, at the moment, you know, our flat rate is 10%. We have a lot of exemptions from the GST. So a lot of goods and services are not taxed. Fresh food, as people know, education, health, water and sewage services are not taxed. Financial services are taxed lower for administrative reasons, really. So that means that if, as you say, a rich person goes out and buys a washing machine or a poor person goes out and buys a washing machine, they both pay 10% GST on that same purchase. And relative to the income of that person or the household, the tax seems more substantial for the poor person, even though it's the same rate that applies. So I guess the question is what we call a regressive tax. However, it's also an important revenue raiser for the country, right? And government is valuable for poor people, and funding government adequately is really important to provide public goods and services, social welfare, health, education, transport, infrastructure, and so on. And so the question is, what is the best way to raise revenue to fund government? We always should have a highly progressive personal income tax. That's important. But most countries around the world that have substantial public spending and public welfare rely more heavily on consumption tax than we do. So our GST, the rate is relatively low compared to many other countries, and the base, the consumption that is taxed, is less than in many other countries. And that means we're not raising as much revenue from that source as we could. So the question is overall design. Should we raise the GST somewhat? But we would need to make sure we compensate low-income earners appropriately as well.
Okay, thank you so much, Miranda, for being available this time of the morning for interview.
And thanks for the invitation.
And it's an informative discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.